You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Welcome to the 5:30 service, where we really are worshiping. We're not lip syncing. It's all real tonight. If you didn't know what I'm talking about, last night, Mariah Carey, New Year's Eve, lip-syncing, good stuff, right? You may have your seats, turn to the person next to you, tell them, it's real here, we really are worshipping, not lip-sync, come on now. Can you even imagine that? Imagine going to church and they drop the mic and they're still singing. You'd be like, oh my gosh, my church? Oh my gosh, my church is lip-syncing. I assure you, I have never lip-synced one of my sermons ever. Every time you've heard me preach, it was really me, all right? My promise is to you that I'll never lip sync a sermon here, all right? It'll be all real. Also, the problem with me not lip syncing is you never know if I might accidentally cuss or say something I shouldn't say because, you know, I always use the excuse that I'm Australian and we speak different than you. And so what you people call cussing, we call speaking. But the good news is one of my New Year's resolutions is to cuss less. So that's good from coming from your pastor, isn't it? Right? That your pastor's made that a commitment in his heart to try and cuss a little less in 2017. So there you go. And I did say less. I didn't say remove it. So don't, you know, yell at me if I, you know, if I still struggle here and there with your made-up list of bad words in America. So, hey, before we get started, I want to show you this. How cool is this? This is the new baptism shirts for 2017. I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm not ashamed of it. If you get baptized tonight, you get one of these. So that will be fantastic. Thank you, Pastor someone. Nope, not a pastor. Just the guy in the middle. He's got a pastor's heart, so that counts, right? There you go. Anointed, blessed, gifted beyond measure. Thank you, Nate. We appreciate you, Pastor Nate. And so, hey, so welcome to church. I am glad you all came. Who stayed up super late last night? Yeah? Now, hands right up. Come on, don't be ashamed of the fact you're a night owl. Hands right up. Who stayed up super duper late last night? Yeah? Wow. Yeah. You know, figures, because you can get here tonight easy enough, can't you, if you stay up late last night? I didn't. Went to bed about 7:15, 8 o'clock, somewhere in there. But I got up at 4 a.m., so I got to experience the new year before most of you. Y'all just said hello to it and went to bed, so I got up at 4, loved it, and I'm excited about baptisms tonight. So I want to let you know that we are not the typical kind of baptizing church. See, we're a church where, as I'm speaking tonight, if God speaks to you, or you feel in your heart that you want to get baptized, you can. You don't have to have called us up 27 days in advance and done a course, all right? You don't have to come with your shirt and your shorts and your towel ready because we got the shirt and the shorts and the towels ready for you, all right? All different sizes too. We've got you covered. It'll be all good. So as I'm speaking tonight, I'm speaking to all of you, all right? If you want to be baptized, you can be baptized, okay? So are you ready for the Word of God? Awesome. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What a fantastic direction for all of us, right? What a brilliant direction for all of us, for you and for me. As the pastor, there's a direction in here for me to baptize people, right? As someone who's a believer, there's a direction in here from Jesus for you to be baptized. We're all covered in this, right? And you know what? If you're a believer and you've been baptized, all of a sudden now if you come across someone who wants to be baptized, can't get to church, this, that, or the other, there's now a direction in there for you to baptize them, all right? This is cool. It's like Amway. Boom, 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 boom. We just keep on going, right? And so this is now obviously primarily it's talking to leadership to go and baptize people. But hey, if you can't find someone or you're on your own and you can't get to church or you're in the middle of the outback desert somewhere, go ahead and baptize them. Just find some water somewhere. That'll be helpful. Jesus wants you to be baptized. You know that? If you're a believer and you haven't been baptized, Jesus actually wants you to be baptized tonight. Now, let me make a couple of things super, super clear to you. Real important right here. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. You don't have to be baptized to be a Christian and a believer, all right? You have to be a believer to be baptized, but you don't have to be baptized to be a believer, righto? You don't have to be baptized to have a relationship with Jesus, and you don't have to be baptized to come to church and worship God. But I tell you what you do need to be baptized for. You do need to be baptized if you want to continue to grow in your relationship with God. See, imagine you're dating someone, all right? Isn't that sweet, isn't it? Maybe think back to your spouse, all right? Get a little sweet again just for a moment. Imagine you're dating someone. You really want to get married. You really want to make that public commitment to each other to tell your friends that we're forever. You really want to go to the next level in your relationship, but they don't want to. Oh, snap. For whatever reason, they're shy, they're embarrassed, or maybe they're just not that into you. The relationship now has a barrier, doesn't it? There's now a blockage in that relationship. It can't progress any further until that's resolved. And if you feel stuck in your relationship with God, if you feel like there's been a barrier in your relationship, maybe like you haven't grown any deeper for a long time in your friendship with God and you haven't been baptized, I want you to know that if you get baptized tonight, that that blockage will disappear. That barrier will disappear. Amen? It will go and it will go today. All right? So let's look at baptism real quick, because I'm going to fly through this so we can get on with the baptizing tonight. All right? Anyone think that's a good idea? We'll get over the talking about it and we'll get to the doing it, all right? That's what we're going to do. So here's a quick four things that I want you to understand before I talk about the other things before we baptize people. Number one, baptism is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all right? Baptism, we should all be baptized. Jesus said so. We should be dunked and not sprinkled. And baptism is the spiritual version of a marriage ceremony with us and Jesus, all right? So number one, baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's this talking about? It's an appeal to the Trinity. Now, if you're a Christian, you believe in the Trinity. We all do. No one's really debated that for the last couple of thousand years, and I'm glad. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Every denomination, Catholics, Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists, all of us, we all believe that same thing. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because all three were there at our salvation. Salvation comes from the Father, by the Son, and applied to our lives by the Spirit of God. And when we're baptized, we're thanking God for what He has done in our lives. We're receiving what He is doing, and we're keeping it forever. Amen? And so because of that, like salvation was receiving what Jesus has done on the cross, invoking it into my life, and then the keeping it in my new life that God gave me. So in baptism, we honor and call upon the Trinity in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You've seen that before, haven't you? People baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We baptize you, right? And that's because we're calling on the Trinity. Because without the Father, there would be no salvation, right? Without Jesus, the Son, there'd be no salvation. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no salvation. Amen? And so we're just thanking God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and we're asking Him to seal that upon our lives, and we're going deeper into our commitment and our relationship with God. Number two, we should all be baptized, all right? We touched on that already. We read that scripture before. Jesus said so. Paul said so. The early church said so. Everybody agrees the believer should definitely be baptized. Paul repeated it, repeatedly said that we should be baptized, and quite often assumed in his writings that the believers and everyone reading it was already baptized. And so did Peter, and so did John. And I think we can all agree that scripture is pretty clear about the fact we need to be baptized, can we? Yeah, the debate goes on about how and why. How should we do it? What's so different about it? I want to tell you, there's lots and lots of differences, and there's one way that Scripture tells us how to baptize. Are you ready for it? We should be dunked. I call it dunked. I don't know. Sounds like strange language. Dunked. Lowered. Go all the way into the water, right? We got to go all the way into the water. Why? Well, Scripture tells us that. Firstly, it's a very symbolic act. When we're baptized, it displays and makes very real in our lives what God has done for us. When we're lowered under the water, It's like our old life has died and is buried, like Christ was buried in the tomb. And when we're raised up from the water, it represents a brand new life. It's like a coming alive again, coming out of the grave, like Jesus rose again on Easter Sunday, right? And so we come alive again, like Jesus rose from the dead. Baptism literally represents and displays to the world and makes real in our hearts what Christ has done in our hearts. We've been made brand new. Our old lives are gone. We're washed clean and come up out of the water with new hearts, with Jesus in our new hearts. Amen? Amen. Secondly, and this is probably pretty important, the word the Bible uses, are you ready for this? We're going Greek. You know your pastor's smart when he says Greek stuff, right? You know that, right? Come on, if your respect's not about to double for me because I'm going to use some Greek right now, there's something wrong with your heart, all right? All right? You ready for the Greek? It's the word baptismo. It's not much different, is it? Baptism, baptismo. The word baptismo, which is in the scriptures, every single time it's talking about baptism, literally means immersed or plunged. So when we, the idea of baptism by sprinkling is in very essence an oxymoron. It's two opposites, like saying plunge that cup under the faucet. It doesn't make sense, does it? You don't plunge a cup under the faucet. You plunge a cup into a bucket, don't you, right? And that's how you would do it. If I told you to get it from the faucet, I'd say, could you hold that under the faucet? I told you to plunge it, like plunge it into a bucket to fill it up. If Jesus wants us to be sprinkled, the word would have been the Greek word hartizo, which means sprinkled. And that word's used a whole bunch of times in Scripture to represent other things when it's talking about the sprinkling of blood and the sprinkling of this, but never in baptism. So when we read Scripture, we know that God is telling us, and Jesus himself was baptized this way, that he's saying, hey, my son, hey, my daughter, be baptized, be immersed, go into the water, which represents your old life dying and you coming back alive again and having a brand new life. Amen? Does this sound good? The word used every time is baptismo. It means plunged. In our language, it means dunked, all right? If you want to speak modern language, dunked under the water. Everyone agrees. Everyone agrees. All the scholars, everyone agrees that the early church only baptized by immersion. That means plunged. No one was poured over or sprinkled at all until a couple of hundred years after Christ. It was later changed to that way. And it's not what the word means. It's not what the symbolism calls for. That symbolism of being baptized by going under the water like Christ went into the grave and coming out of the water like coming alive again, being born again like Christ came alive again. The symbolism calls for being baptized by immersion, doesn't it? Come on now. It's not calling for a sprinkle. And I'm not making fun of the way they do it. It's just not what it calls for. We aren't talking about pouring a bit of water, sprinkling a bit of water. We're talking about how it happened in Scripture. Again, John 3:20 says, they went there and baptized people because the water was plentiful there. You don't need a plentiful amount of water to flick people with it, do you? And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You could spit on them and get that done, couldn't you? You don't need to find a big source of water for that, do you? I know that's funny. Jesus did spit on someone, didn't he? Oh, man. I promise to never do that to you. If we run out of water, I'll wait till we find some, all right? Don't you worry about that. But I tell you what, you don't need the sprinkling. Come on, we want to do it how Jesus was baptized, amen? We want to baptize how every single time in Scripture it was baptized. Later on, I'm going to tell you about a story with a guy named Philip and a eunuch from Ethiopia. And it says in that passage, too, that they went down into the water, okay? Come on, down into the water. The symbolism is so strong. I went down into the waters of baptism like a tomb. I was buried under the water like Christ was buried under the earth. I rose again alive like Christ did. Come on. My old life is buried with Christ, and I came out a brand new creation. I am with Christ, and Christ is with me. Is this good news? I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this. Come on. This is what baptism is all about. Number four, baptism is like the spiritual version of a marriage ceremony. Now, what on earth am I talking about here? When two people love each other, they tend to get married. That's been my experience, all right? Or they tend to break up. We know you love each other because you keep posting make-out selfies on Facebook, right? And we're all like, seriously, we don't care. But marriage is the right place for that selfie, all right? Marriage is a celebration where you ask people to celebrate with you. Marriage is the time when you say to everyone else, I will never leave her nor forsake her. I will always be hers and she will always be mine. That's why we say, will you give yourself to her? Will you love her, honor and protect her? Will you be faithful to her so long as you both shall live? Baptism, my friend, is yours and God's big moment. It's telling all of us and everyone else in the room, hey, I'm not just in this for a good time. I'm in this for a long time and I'm staying in it, amen? Now I'm gonna have a good time, praise God, but I'm not just in it for a good time, I'm not just in it for a moment, I'm staying in this relationship. And when we get baptized, we're telling everybody in the world, hey, you know what? I'm staying with Jesus no matter what happens in my life. And Jesus is saying, you know what? I'm staying with them no matter what they do. In fact, he's already made that commitment to you, right? I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're just returning the favor and telling everybody else that we feel the same. Come on now, can I get an amen? Imagine being in a relationship, like I said earlier, where one of them wants to get married and the other one's like, you know, I'm just not that into you yet. I'm going to see how it goes. We'll see what happens. And the other one's like, but I really, really want to get married. And they're like, I like you and I'll stick around, you know, as long as nothing happens, you know, as long as nothing gets bad. But no, with baptism, we're saying forever, I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen. Forever, I'm going to be with Jesus. I will serve the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm not ashamed of it. This is forever. Can I have the band come back up here? Right now. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm an instant kind of guy. I like instant coffee. I like microwave stuff. If I say jump, I expect... No, I'm just kidding. Before we talk any more about baptism, I want to talk to anyone here who doesn't know Jesus. All right? You can stand up with me even if you like. That'd be great. If you don't know Jesus, or you're far away from God, I want you to listen to me right now. Have you seen Back to the Future? You've seen it? Back to the Future? Good, you're listening. Good. That's not normally what follows that, is it? You know, I want you to listen real carefully right now. This solemn moment. Let's think about Back to the Future. There's this one scene where Doc just busts into the room and he starts psychobabbling about the space-time continuum, right? The space-time continuum has shifted. Something's changed. There is now an alternate reality. No one knows about it. See, they're all living in 1985 in this absolute chaotic nightmare created by Biff, and they are completely oblivious to the alternative reality that they're supposed to be living in. Not only could be living in, but supposed to be living in. It's totally different. They're completely unaware. They don't get it. Everything could be better. Everything could be great. In fact, everything was supposed to be great, but they didn't know about it. Now, there are people in this room tonight who don't realize that they're living in a reality that's different than that God intended them to live in. You've maybe gone about life a long time. Maybe you've been alone. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you've been sad, or maybe you've not been able to get any traction in any of the areas of your life. You might be great at work and have a messed up family life, or a great family life and everything's messed up at work, or maybe the whole thing's messed up. Or maybe you feel all right, but you just simply have this unending, nagging feeling like something's not where it's supposed to be. That something is Jesus missing in your life. The good news is that God has another plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. This is God talking about you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a great future and fill you with hope. That's what God says about you. Today, if you're far away from God or you don't know Him, I want you to know that right now, this is your moment. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's a simple prayer. I'll say it, and I just want you to copy what I say. Everyone's going to pray it together, everyone in here. But if you don't know God, if you feel like you've been living in an alternate reality, not the one that God had planned for your life, then pray this prayer with me. If you've maybe walked away from God, and tonight you're saying, I want to come back. I want to end up back into that relationship with God, that friendship with God. Then I want you to pray this prayer as well. And you won't be alone. We're all going to pray the prayer together. Come on, everyone, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. I believe He rose again to give me hope, peace, joy, life, and everlasting life. Please forgive me the things I've done wrong. You call them sin. And help me to be all that You designed me to be. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now that we know what baptism is and why we do it, let's do it. Let's do it. All right? Let's do it. See, there's a story in the Bible where Philip, I was talking about before, Philip's a eunuch. If you don't know what that is, don't Google it. Ask your dad. Philip is traveling, right? He's traveling down the road. He runs in to an Ethiopian eunuch and he's reading the scriptures. The eunuch, the Ethiopian, he's reading the scriptures. He's reading about Jesus. So Philip sneaks over a bit, sort of stalks the guy a little bit, sneaks over and starts to listen to him reading the scriptures. After a while, Philip introduces himself. He felt led by God to introduce himself, so he did. The Ethiopian man asks Philip if he could explain to him who this man is that he's reading about. And Philip explains to him, it's Jesus, the Messiah. See, obviously, they had a great conversation. I wish the whole thing was written down. It'd be fantastic. But obviously, Philip told him about how Jesus came to save us all, how He gives new life and that He forgives our sins and gives great hope. Peter must have talked to him about baptism too, because the Ethiopian then sees a body of water and simply says to Philip, hey, why shouldn't I be baptized right now? Philip was impressed and takes the man, as scripture says, down into the water to be baptized. I tell you this story real quick because I want you to understand you don't need to be a Bible scholar to be baptized. I want you to understand you don't have to have done a 24-step course. You don't even have to have done our 4-week Next Steps course to be baptized. All we need are 5 things and you can be baptized tonight. Number one, you need a t-shirt. Number two, you need some shorts or some kind of pants type thing. Number three, you're going to need a towel, aren't you? You're going to get out pretty wet, you know? Now, we could make it happen in summer without that, but it's winter. We'll be kind. The next two things, you need a commitment to follow Jesus and a willing heart. The good news is we've taken care of 1, 2, and 3. We have the shirts, and they're kind of sweet, aren't they, you know? Real sweet shirts. You get baptized in that, take it home, wash it, wear it everywhere you go, and people be like, you've decided what? You'd be like, to follow Jesus, duh. It says church on it. What do you think? So we got the shirts, we got the shorts, we got the towels. We even have changing rooms up there that you can use. That's really good news. Down there, sorry. So if you've given your life to Jesus, either today or any time, and you still want to live for Him, or you are still living for Him, you've taken care of number four, a commitment to follow Jesus. So now the simple question remains, are you willing? So in the words of the Ethiopian, I'm asking you now, why not be baptized? All right? Let's close our eyes and let's see what happens in here tonight. If you're in here tonight, and after having heard the word, had it explained to you, maybe you're baptized as an infant where you didn't get to choose to follow Jesus, and now you know that there's something in your heart that says, you know, I want to choose to follow Jesus. Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you just never got it done. Maybe it was fear, I don't know, but for some reason. But tonight, tonight's different. And tonight, you want to be baptized. If you do want to be baptized tonight, well, no one's else is looking at you, just whip your hand up in the air. Show me who you are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Anyone else? Do we have a 10? I think we do down the back there, number 10. Praise God. Anybody? I'll tell you what we're going to do now. We got 10 people already. We're going to be all right. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing two songs. All right? Two songs. We're going to worship the Lord while everyone who wants to be baptized just goes out to the lobby there. Shanna and some of our great ushers, they're going to be out there. They're going to have the shirts for you, all different sizes. I have decided they got shorts as well. So what I want you to do, as soon as the song starts, as soon as I walk off this stage, all of you people who lifted up your hands, I want you to walk straight out there, grab the shirt, grab the shorts, run into one of the downstairs dressing rooms there, get changed, and then whip back up here, in here. And once you're done, if you can come straight, don't sit down over here, just come straight over to that wall over there. We'll be waiting for you. And once we're done singing these two songs, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great hand. Let's worship Him. Run out there and get what you need. See, so many different people, one chunk that all knew each other, and then a bunch of different stories, and those are three sisters, all different stories of faith and life and stuff like that, and Nathan, all different stories. They're all 10 different stories about God changing lives. God changing lives. Praise God. Would you stand up with me? We're going to sing one more time.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.